Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
Ahoy there, boys and girls. Great to see you coming aboard. Find a seat and get ready for an exciting trip to the Sea of Adventure.
Skipper, the clubbers are moving full blast to find their seats.
Oh, they're certainly not wasting any time, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, sir. It looks like we're going to set a record getting everyone aboard and ready for club time.
I do believe you're right, Sparkle. I'll tell you what. Let's make preparations for getting underway.
Well, aren't we going over our club schedule, Skipper?
Well, I think not. I'll tell you what, we'll introduce each segment as we come to it. I'm expecting the boatswain's report any jiffy now.
I see him, and you're right. Why, he's looking here right now, ready to report.
Ahoy, Captain. All clubbers are aboard.
Aye, aye, boatswain. I think you have Mr. Joey's report, Sparkle.
You're thinking right, sir. While Mr. Joey reports that they're making steam with a red-hot fire, and to keep it up to max is their desire.
Oh, a mighty good report. We need our moving out signal, Sparkle.
Aye, aye, Skipper. One moving out signal is on its way.
Clubbers were underway and moving quickly into adventure.
Oh, it's adventure time, all right. Now, when we left Bill Collins on our last cruise, while their family and other families at Sugar Creek were experiencing floodwaters caused by the melting snow. Here's Bill with episode 2 of the Sugar Creek Gang and the Lost Campers.
How's the new kitten today, little Jim? Where is he? I want to see him. Boy, it sure is a pretty day. Wish we could go down and watch the flood. Little Jim grinned at the different things I had said, and he sighed and mumbled, I'd rather have my bear back. Well, you could have a bear back if you tore your shirt on a barbed wire, I said, trying to be funny and not being. Just then I saw his little blue and white cat out in their barnyard, up on top of a flat-roofed hog house about 4 feet high. It was a brand new hog house and had a board floor, Little Jim told me. He knew because his dad had built them himself, and they hadn't even set it up on its foundation yet. Well, that little kitten looked so lonesome up there. How it got out there, we didn't know. Unless it had been out there trying to catch a mouse, and the water had crept up on it unaware. Anyway, there it was, and it was meowing like everything. It looked like a boy feels when he's lost. Well, it looked like a rescue job for lifeguards, which all of a sudden Little Jim and I decided we were. Let's go out and get him, I said. There really wasn't any danger, for the water wasn't moving, and it had, as I just told you, backed up from the bayou and was just standing there making a big dirty lake in their barnyard. We ought to have a boat, I said, looking around for something that might be good to ride on. It was Little Jim's idea, not mine, to get his mom's wash tub. It wouldn't be big enough for two of us, but it would hold Little Jim, and I had on boots anyway and could pull him. And then when we got there, we could put the kitten in the tub, too, and I could pull them both back to shore, the shore being the side of a little hill right close to the barn. It didn't take us a jiffy to get the tub and to get Little Jim squatted down right in the middle of it, with me on the other end of a long rope, pulling him out to the hog house. Squash, squash, slop, splash went my big rubber boots, and Little Jim floated along behind me, grinning and holding onto the sides of the tub with both hands, with his teeth shut tight, trying not to act scared. "Where's your dad?" I asked when we were about halfway out to the kitchen. I mean, to the kitten, which was meowing even worse than ever. "Oh, he and Big Jim's dad are up at the other end of the bayou piling up sacks of sand, so the water won't break over the flood in our cornfield, because if it does, it'll wash out all the wheat Dad had sowed between the rows last fall." Well, We didn't know very much about floods, except that when we were little, we'd heard about one on the Ohio River. But anyway, we were having a lot of fun, and so we went on out through the muddy water to the hog house. Pretty soon we were there, and little Jim and I climbed up on top of it and sat there in the sun, pretending we were on an enchanted island and we were pirates. Then we were shipwrecked sailors. Pretty soon we put the cute little fuzzy kitten in the tub and pushed it out into the water, the tub, I mean, with the kitten in it. Kitty didn't seem to mind that, so we left him there while we told stories we'd read in books and talked about our camping trip up north and how much fun we'd have and a lot of things. I tied the end of the rope around my leg so Kitty wouldn't drift away. And all the time was passing, and the snow up in the hills was still melting, and all the little rivers and branches that ran into Sugar Creek kept on emptying themselves, and all the time the men were up there at the head of the bayou emptying big sacks of sand on the levee that protected little Jim's dad's field from the flood. And then, just like time does when a boy's having a lot of fun, 2 whole hours went past. And all of a sudden, little Jim said, "Look, Bill, the water's getting higher. It's almost, look out!" And little Jim began to scream, "We're moving! We're..." Little Jim turned white as a piece of typewriter paper, and he grabbed hold of me so tight his nails dug into my arm. I believed it, and didn't believe it both at the same time. I looked down at the water, which was certainly a lot higher up than it had been, and the backside of the hoghouse was sliding down deeper. I knew in a jiffy what had happened. The back end was set right at the edge of a little hill, and the water had crept up and washed the dirt away from underneath it. Quick as a flash, I knew we were in for it. For I looked toward the river in the bayou, and there was a great big log swirling down toward us. The black, swirling, muddy water was carrying corn stalks and tree branches and pieces of wood and all kinds of debris, and a great big log was headed right straight toward us. Straight toward us, faster and faster. It looked like all of Sugar Creek was running all over the cornfield below us, and that it had picked up all the wood piles in the country and was carrying them away. Little Jim held on to me, and I held on to him, and we both held on to the roof of the hog house, knowing that if the hog house slid down the hill even a little further, it'd turn over or slide right out into the current, and we'd be carried away. I tell you, I was scared. So scared that I was numb all over and couldn't even think straight. And then, with a terrible grinding roar, the big log crashed into the side of our hoghouse, and that was the only thing that was needed to break it loose and start it to moving. And at jiffy, there we were, floating away, twisting around and around, but not turning over. And we were being carried down toward the big bridge, where Sugar Creek was the maddest of all. We're gone! And little Jim, because he is, as I told you, was a wonderful Christian, said, "It's better for us to drown than it would be for little Tom Till or Big Bob, because they're not saved." Imagine that. That little fellow knew that if we had to drown right there, we'd have gone straight to heaven. And that's a lot more than a lot of the smartest people in the world know. Well, I tell you, it's a funny feeling riding on the top of a hog house in floodwaters. I guess we weren't moving nearly as fast as we thought we were, but we were moving around in little circles, doing whatever the water wanted us to. Say, if we hadn't been so scared, it would have been funny. Because coming right along behind us was little Jim's mom's big tub there with that little white-faced blue and white kitten sitting in it and looking scared even worse than we felt. Well, I'd heard of boys tying tin cans and things to a cat's tail, but I'd never heard of a tub with a cat in it being tied to a boy's leg. For some reason, didn't seem very funny. And especially when I saw little Jim's face and thought, what if we do drown? What if we never see our parents again or any of the gang? All the time we were drifting out across the field, getting nearer and nearer to the main part of Sugar Creek, where he was madder than a nest full of bumblebees. We weren't drifting straight toward the bridge, though, but we're moving toward the road, which was high up on an embankment, and it looked like we would bump into it first and then follow the current along the edge until it got to the bridge. And there, unless something stopped us, a fierce old brown current would grab us and whirl us under the bridge quicker than a flash, and we'd come out on the other side, right in the worst part of the creek, and go lickety-sizzle right straight toward the big island down along the bridge where there were some tall trees, and maybe we'd bump into one of them and be stopped and could catch hold of a branch and climb up under the tree. Little Jim cried, "Look! There's somebody running down the road!" Sure enough, there was. And it was Circus, Our acrobat. He was running and yelling and waving his arms and trying to get to the place where we were going to hit the bank before we did. I guess a million thoughts started rustling around in my head, and I couldn't think straight.
Well, we leave Bill, Little Jim, and the kitten floating in the floodwaters. But the other Sugar Creek Gang boys are trying to find a way to get them to dry land. Well, more adventure on our next cruise. Please don't miss it.
And Captain Chesterpeak, we don't want you to miss Riddles in the Middle. Oh, please hurry it up, sir. Come over here, please.
I'm on my way. Get the first riddle ready.
Okie dokie. Here it is. What kind of people enjoy ill health?
Oh, my. What kind of people? Well, there's people that's always complaining about their health, you know.
It does seem like that.
Do you know what
my answer is?
Oh, you have a different answer?
Yes, sir. Well, doctors enjoy ill health.
Oh, doctors enjoy
it. In other people. Yes, sir.
Oh.
All right. Number two coming up, sir. Why are elephants so wrinkled?
Oh, let me see. Why are elephants so wrinkled? It's something about their too hard to iron.
Yes, sir.
You know, too difficult to iron or something like that.
Did you ever try to iron one? It is a job. Well, number three. How do you make an elephant float?
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
Yes, sir.
How do you make an elephant float?
Uh-huh.
You start with your favorite ice cream,
uh-huh.
Pour cola over it, and add one elephant.
I think I'd just like to have a root beer float. All right. Number four. What's big and gray and has a trunk and goes zrrr?
Oh, that's supposed to be an outboard motor?
Well, something like that.
Yeah, I remember there's uh-huh. quite a few on that one, you
All
know.
All right.
That outboard motor, but let me see. What's big and gray and has a trunk?
Uh-huh.
So that must be an elephant, since we're on elephant jokes.
What kind of an elephant, sir?
Well, it must be an outboard elephant.
That's the one.
Uh-huh.
You did it, sir. Well, let's see. That looks like 3 out of 4, according to my record.
Boys and girls, we invite you to take part in our club Bible quiz. This is how it works. I ask the Bible question. Our club secretary, Miss Sparkle, will join us to answer the question. So we'd like for you to see if you can get the quiz answer first. Well, Miss Sparkle, I see you're ready for our Bible quiz.
Well, I'm all set. I hope I have today's Bible quiz question right in the front of my remember.
All right, let's check it out. What king of Israel had 40,000 stalls of horses and 12,000 horsemen?
Oh, well, that's not too tough, Mr. Communications Officer, because I know that King Solomon had 40,000 horses and 12,000 horsemen.
Yes, it was Solomon. Clubbers, did you have the correct answer? You can find the answer to today's quiz in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. Well, that's our quiz for today.
Old Speedy Sparkle, I guess we should start calling you Flash.
But when I miss him, you'll have to call me another name.
Oh, no, we'll just keep calling you Flash. Flash Sparkle.
Oh, well, if you'd like, sir, may I go ahead and introduce today's story time?
Well, that's a good idea.
Well, fellas and girls, let's get ready for an excellent story. And here's the one who will share a story we'll never forget.
I'm Uncle Charlie, and we have a very interesting, unusual story ready for you today. You know, there are a lot of people into witchcraft and astrology and things like that. Well, our story deals with that subject, and the name of it is Ask the One Who Knows. It was Katie, the youngest and most serious of the grandchildren, who first came home with the news. Her blue eyes were wide with disbelief.
With quivering lips, she blinked to fight back the tears and silently approached her parents.
Why, Katie, I didn't hear you come in.
What's the matter, honey?
He died. Jerry Davis died.
He did? Oh, I am so sorry to hear that. We need to pray for his parents and his sister. They must be hurting right now.
Come here, honey. You want to sit on my lap? It's okay to cry, but always remember that God knows best. Jerry fought that cancer as long as he possibly could, but his body just finally wore out. God just said it was time for the hard struggle to be over.
But will they bury him in the ground now, like we did with Buster when he died?
Well, yes, we buried our old dog Buster when he died, and Jerry's body will be buried, Katie. But Jerry himself, the real Jerry, he's gone. He's not in that body anymore. He lived inside it for a while, but now he's free of that body with all of its pain and suffering.
Where did the real Jerry go?
He went to heaven, honey.
Really? Are you sure?
I'm sure. When Jerry was in my vacation Bible school class a couple of years ago, he accepted Jesus as his Savior.
And so is Jesus in heaven now?
That's right, honey. We all feel sad because we'll miss him very much, but we can be glad for Jerry because he isn't sick anymore. Jerry has the perfect kind of healing.
Oh, I see Bobby and Alice coming home. They're probably feeling sad about Jerry, too.
Yeah, we were walking home from the park, and they decided to stop and visit with Rita and Mr. and Mrs. Davis and try to make them all feel better.
That was nice of them to do. Hi, kids. Katie just told us about Jerry. We're so sorry that he died.
His mom and dad are real upset, aren't they, Alice?
They sure are.
They're not Christians, are they, Mom?
No, I don't believe so.
And since they don't have the Lord to comfort them, I'm sure Jerry's death must be especially hard on them.
We really need to keep them in our prayers. In fact, let's pray for them right now.
Weeks passed. All of the Grant children tried hard to share love and concern with Rita whenever she was hurting over her brother's death. And Mr. and Mrs. Grant called several times on Rita's parents, but in the depths of their pain, the Davis family refused to recognize the hope and healing that's found only in Jesus Christ. One day, as Bobby and Alice walked home from school with Rita, she told them some exciting news.
Mom is real happy today.
She is? How come, Rita?
Because we're going to hear from Jerry tomorrow. He's going to talk to us.
Talk to you? But he can't.
Yes, he can. Tomorrow night we're going to a meeting and Jerry will come back and talk to us.
That sounds weird to me. If he can talk to you, why doesn't he do it here?
Because there has to be a medium. The medium is somebody who holds a seance and people come to him when they want to talk to somebody who's died.
I don't believe that. The dead are either in heaven or hell. They can't talk to anybody on earth.
Yeah. And the people in heaven are never sad or hurting anymore.
But Mother isn't happy, and Jerry would want her to be. I know he'll talk to her if that will make her happy. We have a Ouija board, and we asked if Jerry could talk to us, and it said yes.
A Ouija board? What's that?
You mean you don't know? It's a board that has... Wait, we're here at my house. Come in a minute, and I'll show you. That'll be better.
Rita, why did you close the curtains? Does it have to be this dark?
Alice, I don't like this.
Don't be a baby. Look, here it is. See, it has all the letters of the alphabet, the numbers 0 through 9, and the word yes and no. And this plastic triangle thing is called a pointer.
So, how does it work?
You just set the pointer down on the Ouija board and ask the board a question. The pointer starts to slide all around the board, and then it begins to move back and forth, spelling out words or numbers, or just the word yes or the word no.
Can you ask it anything?
Yeah, it's fun. Come on and try it. One of you put your fingers on the pointer with me and then ask it a question.
Not me. I don't want to get near that thing.
Oh, scaredy cat. It won't hurt you. You try it, Alice. Rest your fingertips lightly on the pointer. Don't push on it. Ask the Ouija board a question and wait for it to start moving.
Well,
Okay, let's see. Ouija board, will Jerry talk to his mother tomorrow night?
Now watch.
Hey, the pointer's starting to move.
The answer is yes. See, the pointer went over to the yes.
Yeah, but you were pushing it over there. I felt you doing it.
No, I didn't. And you weren't pushing on it either, were you?
No, I was just resting my fingertips on it, like you said to. And it went right over to the word yes all by itself.
Ah, come on. What does a stupid painted wooden board and a piece of plastic know about anything?
It's not just wood and plastic, Bobby. It's controlled by spirit power.
Really? Spirit power?
Sure. Evil spirits. Come on, Alice. This is scary. Besides, we're supposed to go straight home after school.
No, wait. Let's just try one more question before you go. Please?
Well, okay, one more. Ouija board, what time will Jerry talk tomorrow night? 8! It pointed to the number 8. Bobby, you try it. Ask it a question.
Okay. Ouija board, are you a phony?
If you're not serious, it won't answer you, Bobby.
That suits me fine. I didn't want to talk to that thing anyhow. Come on, Alice, let's get out of here. That stupid board gives me the creeps.
Okay, I'm coming. See you later, Rita.
Bobby and Alice hurried home. During dinner that evening, Alice brought up the subject of the Ouija board.
Mom, would you buy us a Ouija board?
A Ouija board? Why in the world would you want one of those?
Rita Davis has one. It really tells you things.
It didn't tell me anything. Mom and Dad, you know what they believe over there at the Davises? They believe Jerry's gonna talk to them tomorrow night. They're all going to a seance where he'll be contacted by a medium, whatever that is.
A seance? That's when people try to contact the dead.
Yeah, and Rita said I should try her Ouija board with her. So I asked it if Jerry was really gonna talk to them, and it pointed to yes.
Mommy, you said Jerry was in heaven. Will he come back down and talk to his mother?
No, Katie. Jerry is in heaven with the Lord. I'm sorry to hear that his family is being deceived in this way.
You see, honey, the Davises may go to a seance and hear a voice that's supposed to be Jerry's, but it won't be his. And the spirits speak through the medium. They imitate the dead person and pretend to be the dead person talking. Mrs. Davis would be much happier if she would accept the truth that Jerry is gone and nothing will bring him back. And for someone to take this poor mother's money and to deceive her into thinking that her dead son is talking to her is cruel.
Rita said lots of people go to seances. Why do they believe in them?
Well, mostly because they want to. You know, sometimes those who conduct the meetings use trickery to fool people. But quite often I'm afraid it's the work of the devil himself.
Are seances new?
No, they're not new, Bobby. Mediums have been around ever since Bible days. They were called witches and wizards, familiar spirits, or sorcerers back then, and God had a lot to say about them in the Bible. Here, let me read something to you. Here, Deuteronomy chapter 18. There shall not be found among you anyone who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord.
Boy, that makes it plain enough.
It sure does, Bobby. You know that abomination means loathing or despising. So that means God is really personally offended by mediums. He detests how they deceive people.
Bobby, Alice, Satan is out to deceive as many as he can, and we need to be on our guard about that.
I feel so sorry for Rita and her mom and dad. Ugh, this is all so scary.
Yeah, I'm scared too, Daddy.
Well, it is scary, Katie, and it should be for those who don't know the Lord. You see, kids, there are two powers at war with each other here on earth. God's good and holy and just and perfect power, and Satan's weaker but still very wicked and dangerous power. Just as God has his holy angels to do his will, Satan has his demons, evil spirits, to serve him.
Oh, yeah. I think there's something in the Bible about that.
I know. It's that verse in Ephesians chapter 6.
That's right. Here, let me find it. Here. Here it is. Here it is. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Here, you read it, Alice.
Okay. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
You know, the important thing to remember is that God is stronger than Satan. God is all-powerful, wise, and loving. When a person surrenders his or her life to God, that person belongs to God. The Bible tells us that Jesus had power over demons. And when he met people who were filled with evil spirits, he made those demons leave them. He can still do that for believers today by the power of his blood shed on the cross.
But the Davises are wanting to know the future.
It's foolish and wrong to turn to fortune tellers, mediums, or Ouija boards to ask what's going to happen. After all, only God really knows.
You can trust the past, the present, and the future to his care. Here's another good verse on this subject. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God?
Let's do that. Let's pray together that Rita and her parents will seek God.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they'll do that, if they seek the one who knows all about us, they are sure to find him and get the real comfort and strength they so desperately need. And they'll see Jerry again someday, too, in heaven.
A few years ago, Consumers Reports had an article in their magazine that told about 17,000 kids ages 10 to 14, the age of many of you listening right now, who were asked which board games, what kind of board games do you like best? These were the top five board games listed by these kids. Monopoly, the Ouija board, talked about in today's story, Taboo, Jenga, and Twister. The Ouija board was in the top five board games. And it is so dangerous, and the devil can use it to get you to thinking you don't need to pray about things. As our story title says it so well, when you want to know something, ask the one who knows. Goodbye now. Thanks for listening.
With that top-notch story, we come to the close of today's BBN's Captain's Club.
Well, we're alongside your pier, and the bosun is the crew securing the brow, so you can leave the ship.
But do be careful as you go ashore. Sometimes the old sea legs don't work like you'd like them to.
But we hope those legs bring you back to the ship for our next trip to the Sea of Adventure. When you hear that ship's horn, come a-running in. Hey, see you then.
Clubbers, as a Christian, God indwells you. Will he be pleased with what he sees you do today?
Bye-bye.
The Captain's Club is a radio presentation of the Bible Broadcasting Network.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.